Is this? No.
Is what my account?
Yeah, it's this got you display name. The headers aren't showing for
me. That invoice? How much was it? If it was out. Oh, yeah. It was $1,000. You need to send that check.
Hi, I'm Stephanie with AppRiver. Think of your email as a postcard. Now consider all the places where it might be seen on the way to its final destination. Would you really want social security numbers, account information, or healthcare information on a postcard? The threat to our privacy is real, and that's why you need a layered security solution that allows you to send confidential messages with confidence. One important layer is TLS. If you're an AppRiver customer, you can take comfort in knowing we will always use a TLS connection if it's available. The problem is, TLS isn't always available, and it doesn't necessarily protect your message when it reaches the server. For that, we recommend CipherPost Pro, true mailbox-to-mailbox encryption from AppRiver. With CipherPost Pro, you get an Outlook plugin, so all your team really has to remember is to click Send Secure. It's that simple. A patented delivery slip shows you when your message was received, who opened it, and what they did with it afterwards. We even make it easy for you on the go. All CipherPost Pro features are available on your mobile device, so you can send and receive encrypted email, track the messages, and open secure attachments from anywhere. Try it free for 30 days, and you can decide if CipherPost Pro is the right security solution for your business. Give us a call today. We look forward to hearing from you.
We ready?
Yep.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. And as I hinted to when I was last on with Jeff, we have a show for you tonight, which features my good friend from the Commonwealth of Louisiana, Mr. Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm back from vacation, ready for my next vacation.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I am just basically plugging through all the jobs here, trying to space everything out before the end of summer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel like you weren't going on enough vacations.
Hey, have you seen my Facebook?
I don't get on Facebook very often. I did see a couple of posts, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had a lot of pop-ins this summer, so had a beach day.
People like coming to visit Florida.
What was that?
People like coming to visit Florida.
Yes, they do. Yep. Had to put some new.
I'm going to the beach too.
Yeah, but not in your own state.
There's no beaches in my own state to go to unless I want to catch something.
So just to start off, the first thing I want to do is the last time you were on. You mentioned that you were having some back issues. And right after that show, our good friend, Bradford Torrey, emailed in. I wanted to make sure that you had seen this. But he writes in to give you a little bit of advice. And I wanted to know if you've read that email and if you followed his advice.
So I did read the email about 10 minutes ago. So I have not had time to follow the advice. But I will try it.
Okay.
Although my back has been feeling a lot better lately.
All right. Did you do anything special? Did you take a leave every day or?
Nope. I didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Nope.
All right. Tough guy.
That's right. And I went on a lot of hikes and a lot of walking on the trip to 2-week trip I just got back from.
All right. So just so everybody knows that the advice that Brad gave was to add stretching to your regular routine, go through a full runner stretch, mostly focused on hamstring stretches, and that's what worked for him. He said amazing as to how it helped, and that he hopes that you too find a resolution.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I did have a big stretch ham sandwich. I'm not sure if that's the same thing.
No, not sure about that at all.
But health-wise, I've been actually feeling pretty good. So,
all right. And then one
now,
other.
Now that I've said that, something's going to happen tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I was going to try to roll right past that to get to the much more important email that Bradford Torrey sent in response to your question about Luke Skywalker and his last name. Where Brad says, yes, that's stupid. But more important, if you wanted to keep Luke hidden from Vader, why would you place him on Anakin's homeworld with a family that's connected to his mother? It's always bothered me, and I'm glad to hear somebody else bring it up.
Yes, there are many. I'm a Star Wars fan. There's many things that I don't get. Although I've been told I pick apart movies too much, and I shouldn't do that.
Well, I'm going to have a surprise for you in the coming months. I'm not going
to making a movie?
Making a movie?
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to make my own Star Wars movie.
That'd be good.
So I'm not going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to just surprise you.
Okay. And
I think you're going to enjoy it.
Is this going to be for everybody or just for me?
It's going to be for everybody, but focus to you.
Great.
Probably get us more listeners.
And how will this be disseminated?
Disseminated?
Facebook thing, or is it going to be a...
No. This is podcast-worthy material.
Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It actually, I think it's going to be an entire series in and of itself.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You will have to, you'll have to binge listen to a series of podcasts.
So I binge listened to, I caught up on podcasts, all the driving I did, because I think all the driving I did on the vacation totaled to about 27 hours. So I was able to catch up on my podcast.
Did your family have to listen to?
No, I have headphones.
All right. So it was
now I'm behind again. So I have to catch up at the beach.
Okay. I was going to say, what was the last one you listened to?
Oh, I'm behind. I haven't listened in a few weeks.
Okay. All right. So since it's been a while since you've been on and since you're behind on podcasts, let's get to any tips or stories that you have.
So I've got a few stories. Just all happened recently. Oh, well, first of all, you know what I'm getting into? We're doing some Datto stuff now.
Shut the front door.
Yep. So we inherited a client that had some Datto appliances.
Uh-huh. Oh, multiple. So
we had to become a partner to take that over.
Yep.
And now we've deployed a few more of our own, and we're going to be deploying even more soon. So we're getting into that. So it's actually pretty nice, which I knew it was. I just didn't have the opportunity to look at them prior.
So why don't we start with the obvious question of, well, let's just start with which appliances did you inherit?
Okay, so let me look in my portal. One was a Datto NAS.
Okay, yep, got that one of those.
And I can get you, it was a big one. So I'm going into my portal, which I'm still getting used to.
Another single pane of glass.
That sounds like a podcast title that I need to listen to. So we got a big one. I know we got a big one. Let me see what we inherited. So we inherited...
Wait a minute, you got a big NAS?
Yeah, model, let's see, DN-3E48000.
Okay.
That's the NAS.
All right, so you got a big boy. That's a 48
that's a
terabyte.
Series 3 Enterprise... And data center NAS. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Then we got...
That's the performance model, too.
And then we got an S3.
Okay, Cirrus.
P6000.
Okay, yeah. Professional 6 terabyte.
All right. And then we got, what's this one? This is an S3P4000 that we put out.
Okay. So it sounds like, so NAS and Cirrus, any Altos?
We have one that we didn't deploy yet. And I know I'm going to be deploying. So I'm deploying that one and I'm deploying another one soon, very soon.
Okay. So the question I'm getting to is, you know, the fact that you inherited them meant they were already set up. They were already working. Which backup plan do you have? Working. Just the 1 year retention or the infinite intention retention?
They're infinite retention.
Okay, great. Beautiful. And how much data is being kept local?
So
I should say backups in terms of, are you using the, you know, the daily, weekly, monthly, 3 month cycle as the default?
I'd have to go check. What is this one? This one just showed up. Huh. Okay. So this one has got used. I mean, this one share is 10 terabytes. So I think this one's around 40 terabytes.
Okay.
And the other one I think is around 5 or 6 terabytes. Let's see. Local storage used on this one is actually only 2.63 terabytes.
All right.
And the other one's used like a lot, like 20 something terabytes, actually.
All right. So you actually got some big boys because most clients aren't going to be in that range. So you got some big boys. And what was it that led you to start deploying them yourselves? Was that part of your decision or?
Partly. Yeah. Well, once we inherited them, I'd actually talked to one of my partners about putting this in just before we inherited this client.
Okay.
And then we inherited the client that had them. So it was perfect timing. So, and then we had another client who we had on an AppAssure appliance, but it was old and needed to be retired. So we switched them over to Datto appliance. So, and just so happened a new client needed a new backup solution. Put them on one, and I'm moving someone else to another one because they have an old tape drive. Finally getting them off the tape drive.
Yay.
Yay. And I was talking to this client and explaining them the benefits, the pros and cons to it. The main con for the client is a recurring cost.
Right.
But talked to him about the retention level. I said, it's infinite retention level. He said, well, what's my retention level right now? I said, how many tapes you got? 6. I said, you can go back a week. A week? I said, I've told you that. We're doing a full backup every night. You've got 6 tapes. You back up Monday through Saturday. I can go back 6 days. What? I said, you don't act surprised. I said, yeah, you've known about this. This is how it's been forever. I said, you used to save an end of year backup to go back if you needed to, but you said that you didn't want to buy the tapes for that. So you have a weak retention, which I didn't tell him. It's not exactly true because shadow copies go back, you know, about a month.
Okay.
I didn't tell him that.
All right.
But
so now you've seen them, you've felt them, touched them. How do you like them?
I like them. It's relatively new. I've been looking at it, you know, past week or two. I've been going over the Datto Academy stuff, trying to learn about it,
yeah,
get into it. I did find some issues with the ones we inherited that we're working on. So you say we inherited them and they were working. Yeah, we inherited them. The working part's something a little different.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're working. I did find a few issues that we resolved. One is still working on. But so I think I have 2 open tickets with Datto still. And I'm also liking this because we're testing their support. So it's nice to find an issue to submit it to support to see how they respond.
Right.
And it's been good. So I'm happy about that.
All right.
But did you know? So I don't know if you know this. Okay, here's a question for you. Assuming a client does not encrypt their live data on their server. Okay, so just let's say whatever business, it's not, no HIPAA, It's not a law firm, right?
Right.
If their data is sitting on their server and it's not encrypted on the server, do you encrypt a local backup on the data?
If they are a customer that doesn't do encryption on their server,
on the live server,
I do not encrypt the data on the data.
Okay.
But you actually still can. You can encrypt the backups, and it has no bearing if you have to do a restore.
Okay, so, but here's why I don't. What do they call it? The ransomware protection does not work if you encrypt your backup.
Correct.
So that's one reason why I did not. So the new ones we put out there, we're not encrypting because they don't encrypt their live data. So there's no point to encrypt the local data. Now, for those who don't use Datto, it does encrypt it as soon as it leaves your Datto.
Mm-hmm.
So it encrypts it, and encrypts it on the way to Datto's server, and it encrypts it on Datto's server.
Correct.
It's just not encrypted on the local device, which if you're not encrypting live data anyway, why encrypt the backup?
Right. And for the most part, the reason I don't do it for a lot, especially the customers where, you know, they're just happy to have backup. Is really what it is. And to get into the data, it's not like you have a regular NAS drive where a lot of times your backup shares are just regular shares and
just copies.
Yeah. Right. And if somebody on your network knows how to go looking for a share, they'll find it. With the Datto's, they can't do that.
Right.
So from that perspective, it is secure. I don't worry about the encryption in that regard.
It's easier to find the live share than it is to find the backup data.
Right, right.
Because even if you left a restore mount mounted, they'd have to know the path of the restore mount.
Correct.
And if you set it to require authentication, you have to know the authentication password too.
Right.
So I'm still learning. I do like what I've seen, and I do.
Well, now's a good time
to get more of them out there.
Yeah, now's a good time because they've actually added some more features, and I don't know if this is in the last couple of weeks or not, but they've added, and one I'm actually just turned on today, and I've got a backup that's running right now, as we speak, that will do application verification, and I've turned it on for a Microsoft SQL Server. But they also have it for a DHCP server, Active Directory Domain server, DNS server. I haven't really taken a big look at these new features, but they're on there along with service verification.
Yeah.
So these are nice new features. The ransomware has been on for a while. I love that. Actually, I've not had anybody ever have a ransom detected in the backup. Mainly because most of these are in my actual, you know, monthly service agreement. So they've got all the other protection. They've got, you know, the Sonic Wall appliance. They've got managed antivirus. They've got all the other stuff. So they really shouldn't be getting ransomware at all anyway.
I had a client get that last week. Now, it's a client that we do some work for.
Mm-hmm. Was it the amnesia?
The what?
There's one out there called
it was
amnesia.
.arrow. .arrow.
Okay.
So we do work for the parent company. The parent company bought this other company. The only thing we do for the other company is support them if they need to connect to the main office. So they had their own server that we don't manage. They had their own IT people before that manage that server, manage that backup. We only help them if they need to connect to the parent company.
Okay.
But they still call us. So now they start calling us instead of the IT firm that used to call. So we told them we don't manage that stuff. We can try, but we need to do all the discovery. Anyway, we haven't taken them over, and they call saying their computer's not booting up. And they thought that fell under the agreement with the parent company, because if their computer's not booting up, they can't connect to the main office, right? So we looked at it, and the whole thing was encrypted, .arrow. Hmm. Then we find the server's encrypted. Now, this server should have been retired because all the pertinent data had already long ago been moved to the parent company. So they were supposed to get rid of that. They never did. But guess what? Now it's all encrypted. The workstation's there, all encrypted. So now it's been forced to be retired because in order to get it back, they'd have to contact their IT company, restore everything. So it was pretty funny because they didn't want to get rid of it, but now they were forced to. Mm. So that was the whole encryption thing. And we actually found the cause of it. Cause was a brute force RDP. He had open RDP from anywhere. Mm-hmm. They brute forced his, logged into his computer and installed the encryption software.
Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, and then another client called, someone called that was referred by a client saying she needed my help because all of her files were encrypted. And this is a one woman business, I should say. And she did work for all of her business existed on this one computer. She said everything was encrypted and she needed me to help her. And I said, okay, do you need help reloading Windows and restoring your backup? No, I need help to get all the files back. I said, okay, well, what's your backup? No, I don't have a backup. I want to read the encrypted files. I said, well, so your only option is to try and pay the ransom, but we're not going to assist with that. We don't recommend that. But if it's your only option, you can go ahead and follow the instructions for the ransom, but we're not going to help with that. So basically, she lost. And well, then she agreed she didn't want to do that. So she lost her whole business because everything was on there. She had no backup. She thought she was doing backup on QuickBooks for Intuit Data Protect. And we all know that that's the worst product ever. That wasn't working. Hadn't worked since January.
Wow.
Now the invoicing, you know, the bill from Intuit was working, right? To bill her for the Intuit Data Protect, but it actually wasn't protecting. So she was mad about that. And then to find out this is all on a 6-year-old e-machine.
What?
Yeah. I said, so it's not worth even spending the time to fix your computer. Just go get a new computer. If you're not going to pay the ransom, just start over with your data. So anyway, that wasn't a client. I didn't feel bad. I said, if you need help in any of that, getting a new computer, loading your software, setting up a backup, we'll be happy to help. And of course, never heard from her,
no.
Which I don't think I will.
Nope. I still haven't heard from my customer that, my ex-customer.
Oh, they never called?
Nope, never called.
I hadn't seen any encryption attacks in a while, and I saw two this past week.
I don't remember when that amnesia one was, but that was an office that I, in a similar situation to you, we don't really maintain it, but they, for some reason, call us when they really have problems.
Yeah. Oh, and the client who was infected, he took his USB drive and he went to a client's office and he plugged it into their computer.
To see if he could read it there?
I think he infected them. Even though we told him, you can't use anything. I said, everything you've plugged into that computer, we need to check. But I think I heard him tell one of my techs that he plugged it over there and then they have encrypted files now. If I heard right, that's pretty bad.
So they were his client?
Yeah. He went over there to do some work for them, plugged in his USB drive, which was in his computer.
Is this another tech?
No, he's the worker. He owns the business. He owns his part of the business. It was, this is him just going around like, you know, Typhoid Mary, spreading the infection everywhere.
Wow. Amazing. Clients, gotta love them.
So here's an email from Datto support right here. My ticket.
There you go. See?
Closing the, closing the case. That's
working
good.
24/7. I have talked to them at 2 a.m.
I don't think I'll ever do that, but I guess it's good to know that I could if I wanted to.
Yep. And the only reason I did was I just happened to be up and got the email. And I said, you know what? Let me just go ahead and take care of this now. And I did. Logged in from home because you know how nice it is. Well, you may not know, but, you know, from your portal, you can log into the Datto device and not actually have to log into the customer's network or all of that stuff. So did it from home, logged in, did their little deal. It was nice.
So I'm looking forward to being able to restore something. I'm probably on the smaller clients when I get one, do some test restores, but I haven't got to restore anything yet.
You are using the screen verification, right?
Yes, and that was one of the issues I had with Datto support because the screen verification wasn't working.
Okay.
And it had never worked. Because we're taking off a client and we're looking at, you know, I'm going through all the agents and this and that, and I find stuff that's never worked. I'm like, why didn't the other company take care of this? None of this was working. It's a, you know, like last, like one of them is the last offsite sync, never. Okay, this is 10 terabytes of data on this share.
And well, here's the question, though.
It's never been synced offsite.
Was it set up to sync?
Yeah, it just doesn't sync.
Oh, okay.
So at this point, we're going to have to get a round trip on the drive to seed it because I can't send 10 terabytes offsite.
Not at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I check that every so often. Actually, I have just about every alert that can be set up so that I can.
I don't like alerts. I don't. It's too much. I'm not an alerting guy because you get bombarded with alerts.
Not if you set them up right. You only have the alerts set up if there's an issue.
Yeah, I checked all of them. No, I did. I'm sorry. I didn't do that.
And then you send the screen verifications to the customer so they can see it. And then only the errors get sent to you.
Yeah, well, the errors go to our support address, so it creates a ticket if there's an error.
So you're on the Datto train. Are you on the Ruckus train yet?
No.
Oh. Did you see my post on the Twitter? Simply Better?
That recent? I didn't see that.
I don't know. It was like a month ago.
Oh, I don't remember that far
back. Finally got the controller up and running.
No, my partners really like Ubiquiti stuff.
I'm loving the Ruckus. I'm sorry. It is expensive, but it works. Speaking of, I'm going to read a third email. We had a stack of email.
Okay, cool.
Well, actually, I won't read it. It's not really an email. He sent me an email with his contact information. He called. I printed out the email to remind me. But a gentleman called recently. His name was Chris. Let me just say, how can I describe this to you in the terms that will make it sound as passionate as his phone call was? Gentleman called to basically thank me for doing the Podnuts Pro show, that he has actually gotten so much out of it, and he started listening about 3 months ago. And he was already a Calyptic user, so when he heard the Calyptic shows, it was great. He, you know, wanted to vouch for Calyptics as a firewall appliance. He was really calling to say thank you because he had been fighting with Wi-Fi issues at a client, and they had gone through several attempted resolutions with different Wi-Fi access points, redoing cables, replacing, doing all of this stuff, and nothing worked. And he finally got to the point where he had, and he must have listened to the couple of shows where we talked about Ruckus and when I talked about the controller, because he said, I went ahead, convinced the customer to get the Ruckus. Since I put it in, no issues, no problems, and just wanted to say Thank you on that.
So the which Ruckus models do you have out there?
I have everything from the 300 up to the 700. So the 300 is just a real small appliance that I have, maybe where it's only needed in a conference room.
This is like the R310?
Yes, it's the 310 now, yes. I got it before it was the 300 when I got it. And mostly now I'm deploying the 610s and the 7. Well, now they have a 720. They're coming out.
730, I see.
They're coming out with the 730. That's the newest.
So these have cloud controllers, or is there an on-site controller?
Well, you can do cloud. They are offering that. It's a paid subscription, but we're buying them for the most part in what they call unleashed. So you don't need a physical controller. You configure the first access point as a master controller, and then every additional access point you add after that, up to 25 units, pulls all of the settings from that first access point. So they call it unleashed because you used to have the controller. Now you do not.
Okay, so let's say you have this in a client somewhere and you want to make a change to it.
You actually have to connect to the network if you're doing just the unleashed.
Connect to the thing, you go to just a web interface.
Yes.
That's the IP of the master controller.
Correct.
So if you change the SSID password, it's going to push those to all the other ones.
Correct.
And what if it doesn't?
What was that?
Have you ever had where it doesn't work the way it's supposed to?
Actually, I haven't. I have had one unit fail in the 3 years I've been using it, and you know when it fails. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like it's just sitting there. Yeah, you know, ding, ding, ding.
Okay, so do you like the unleashed model?
I do. I mean,
I don't have a problem with that because we have remote access to all the networks.
Right. And that's the reason I don't mind it. I'll be honest, I'm not big on their cloud because it's a pay for service. And I think I got hooked on the open mesh where, you know, the cloud component is free. So
what's the price point of some of these different ones?
So the 600 model, you know what? I haven't even looked at the retail prices. The 700 and 710s I've been selling, basically you're looking at about $1,000.
Okay.
For the high end model. The lower end, the 300, you're actually looking at like $295 or something like that.
Okay. So you program the first one, you set it out there, you put it in place. When you want to add a second one, you just connect it to the network and it goes out and searches for a master.
Yes.
And then just grabs onto that, takes the settings and expands it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So all these are going to be wired back, but all these are wired.
Yeah, I do them wired. You actually can do a mesh configuration, so you can do it where it's not wired if you need to, but I try to wire them all.
Are these all PoE or they have eight? Do you plug them into both?
Both.
So you can do either one?
You can do either one, yep. And here's the good thing. Now, remember I got the controller. So even though you may purchase the Ruckus in an unleashed mode, you can turn that into what they call the zone flex mode to work with a controller. All it is changing the firmware. So you've got a firmware for unleashed and the firmware for zone flex. You can use it in either mode.
Okay. Interesting. We're going to add a picture of the R730.
Yeah, the R730, I think, that's going to be for your most demanding environments. So, you know, if you're setting up in a hotel, you know, at a ballpark or something where it's going to definitely need to, you know, be able to handle a couple hundred people.
So what's the mounting options? Just got little screw holes in the back. just hang it with?
They've got brackets.
Okay. Interesting. I'd like to, I mean, I'd like to try them somewhere to get a client to go for that.
I'll be honest with you. I still am doing open mesh for my smaller clients and for clients that I know, you know, don't need the performance, don't have the density, you know, they don't have a ton of people connecting at a time. So I'm using the open mesh for that. The Ruckus is for when I know that people have to use it. My medical clients, you know, that they're doing their, you know, their EMR from their iPads all day long. Or
do you get it through your data partner, or you tell them to go buy it themselves?
No, I get it through, it's through distribution. So Tech Data,
okay.
Synix.
Okay. Because we were looking at that, it looks like if you get it through your data partnership.
Oh, you're talking about the open mesh.
The open mesh. You have to include that $8 a month,
okay.
Whatever.
So, yes. So with open mesh, you can still buy direct from open mesh, or you can buy through Datto and get the Datto support and treat it as a managed service for the $8 a month.
And you can't get it through Datto without the $8 a month.
Correct.
So you got to buy it direct from
open mesh.
Open mesh, or you've got to, yeah. Right. So I can't get it through a partner, through Datto partner, without the $8.
Correct. But you can get it through Open Mesh, or actually, I think they're still on Amazon. I think they're still selling there.
I just told the client wasn't going for this, but they're going to be putting in Open. And I don't really have any Open Mesh out anywhere. That's one thing I'm going to start trying, because I have a client that needed some new access points, and we're going to put Open Mesh in. I think it's going to work good, but I don't think they would have gone for the Ruckus. It's just a smaller.
Yeah, but you said you guys like the Ubiquiti, so I think Ubiquiti Mesh are probably similar.
Yeah, I play with the Open Mesh stuff, and I play with Ubiquiti a little, and between the two, I think I like the Open Mesh more.
Well, Open Mesh is definitely a lot easier.
Yeah, I think I like, but that's why I'm doing this client. I'm going to go put the Open Mesh out there so I can play with that. So
here's what I can tell you. I was looking at the R720s for Ruckus, because I've got my one client that's actually expanding, and I'm going to need two more access points. The price points on the Ruckus are very nice. I'm not going to say it on air, but it's between the MSRP and what I can get it for, we're talking $500. Difference.
Wow. You get it through distribution?
Yeah, I get mine through Tech Data.
Okay. Interesting.
And speaking of, you know what? Let me do this. There is a promotion. Let me see if I can find it. There is a Ruckus promotion that goes through. Here it is. I guess I can't put this in the show note. You can get 50% off of an unleashed access point.
Of MSRP or distribution prices?
To qualify, VARs must submit their PO to a Ruckus distributor and be invoiced by December 31st, 2018. The PO must include end user customer name and promotion code. 50% off.
I might have to get one of those.
So this is off the Unleashed. That's what I was looking, because I thought that this was originally supposed to end earlier, but they extended it because I was going to order them ahead of time. My customer probably won't be moving in until October.
Hey, send that to me. I'm going to get it one for a client.
All right.
If not, I get it from my house. All right. So that's another thing to try. We're on the Datto train. I'm going to do Open Mesh, and maybe I'll do some work.
All right. All right. Anything else you want me to promote for you?
Hey, so I wonder how many other people, I've gotten a lot this the past 2 weeks. A client gets an email that, and let me read it, because it's to me, I think it could have been done a lot better if they could have scammed more people if they would have done it differently. But they'll get an email that says something like this. I am well aware, insert password here. So I am well aware your password, that this is your password. Let's get straight to the point. Nobody has compensated me to investigate about you. You do not know me, and you're most likely wondering why you are getting this email, ? In fact, I actually placed a malware on the XXX Vids porn site. And guess what? You visited this site to experience fun. You know what I mean. When you were watching videos, your internet browser began working as a remote control desktop with a keylogger, which gave me access to your display as well as webcam. Immediately after that, my software program gathered every one of your contacts from your Messenger, Facebook, as well as email account. Next, I created a double video. First part displays a video you were watching. You have good taste, And second part shows a recording of your cam, and it is you. Sometimes they say that they have video of you doing things while you're watching this video, or, you know, what you're doing while you're watching these videos. This one doesn't. It says you will only have two alternatives. Why don't we study the options in aspects? I like the way they write. First solution is to just ignore this email. In this case, I will send out your video recording to all of your contacts and also consider about the shame you will get. And consequently, should you be in an affair, precisely how it will eventually affect. Second choice should be to pay me $7,000. Let's think of it as a donation. Consequently, I most certainly will straight away delete your videotape. You will go on with your life, with your way of life, like this never happened, and you would never hear back from me again. And it says how to pay. Okay. Oh, if you may be looking at going to the law, good. This email cannot be traced back to me. I have dealt with my actions. I am just not trying to demand so much. I just like to be paid. You now have one day to make the payment. I have specific pixel within this email, and right now I know that you have read through this message.
My goodness, great.
If I do not get the bitcoins, I will definitely send you a video regarding to all of your contact. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So the thing is, it says I am well aware blank is your password. And it puts a password in there. And the thing is, for most people that get this email, this is their password or a password they've used in the past. So that's what freaks them out.
Of course.
So if their password was donkey123 and they get an email saying, I know your email is donkey123, they get freaked out. It doesn't matter what the rest of it says. It doesn't matter if they know they didn't go to porn sites, right? And they might not even have a webcam, right? If they're on a desktop computer with a standard monitor, they're not going to have a webcam. None of that matters. They freak out thinking that this is real. I've gotten clients email me this countless times in the past week or two. And the reason they have the password is most likely a password dump. They're buying these password lists online.
Right.
So if some site got hacked and their password list compromised, it might have been, I mean, I don't know what it was. I'm just going to say maybe it was their MySpace account 10 years ago, you know, or something. A lot of the clients I've talked to said that this was their password, but not for a long, long time. So I get a lot, and Brian Krebs has an article about this, and that'll be in the show note. So when I get this from a client, I send them the article for Brian Krebs, tell them, look, if first of all, if this is still your current password, you shouldn't be reusing passwords on any sites. So I give that whole spiel. Second, I say, if this is your password, this is a very weak password because I can see what they send me. I say, you should not be using that password anywhere. So one, make your passwords complex. Two, don't use them on different sites. So I did have one client that said, I know this is fake because I don't have a webcam and I didn't visit any porn sites. He said, but it is a password I've used in the past. So he just wanted to know how they got his password. So I thought that was interesting how many times I think I got like 7 emails from clients in one day, 7 different clients in one day. The first time I saw it,
I've received none of these, but apparently it's severe enough that the FBI has added this to their website.
Oh, really?
Yes. They have a whole page. What is sextortion?
I like the name too.
Wow.
So different people are buying these password lists. Cause I mean, I've seen a few of these and the wording is different on each one. It's never the same wording twice. So different people are buying this and sending out emails. So
this is wow. I mean, they are getting quite tricky.
But see, the thing is, to me, they shouldn't say, I know you went to a porn site. They should just say, look, I have your password.
Right. That's yeah.
I
that's
have
all
access
they need.
To your bank. I have access to everything. Mm-hmm. If you don't pay me, I'm going to, but they shouldn't, because most people know right away, this is not real because I didn't do this and I didn't do this.
But between the word password and porn, that will freak people out because, you know, I can fix a hacked bank account. I can't fix all my friends finding out that I'm a freaky dude on the sex.
Yeah, well, maybe if you are going to those sites and you do have a webcam and you're doing who knows what in front of your webcam. Okay, but that's, I would think, a very, very small percentage that's going to apply to. I think it would apply to many more people if you say, look, I have access to your stuff. I can prove it. Here's your password. You better pay me ransom or I'm going to mess you up.
You're right, because the threat of you don't know what I'm going to do with your password.
Yeah.
That opens up a whole bunch more possibilities. And
they could even say, look, I have your password. For example, here's one of the ones that I have. Well, now you know that is one. How many more do you have?
Right.
I think that I just can't imagine that is a big percentage of people that meet the criteria. And the sextortion, maybe it's more. Maybe I'm just naive and this happens more than I think it does. But I think they could have scammed a lot more people. Plus, you know what? Ask for a little bit less. 7,000?
Well, it's funny.
That's your one
because when I pull up the site, it only talks about 1,400. The FBI site, they don't list a dollar amount. They have a video that I obviously can't play right now, but
I'm going to see if I can find the other letter because I had another client that I know offhand, one of the ones that sent me one. I'm going to see if there's a dollar amount in there.
So here's the one. Yes. So 7,000 is on the high end.
I like how it's even on the document he sent, 7,000 is a different font than the rest of it. Like you can tell he just pasted in a number.
Got to emphasize the 7,000. Here's one for $32.50. That's a bargain.
But I like how the you can tell that this particular it was a template. He pasted in a few different things.
They're probably passing it around on some dark website. You know, Jeff and I did a quick little podcast on the dark web. And whether or not the dark web scans are worth it, it hasn't been posted yet, but we just did that.
Okay, so this one was only $1,000.
All right, well, that's more reasonable.
But still, they said.
Yeah, but is it now?
I'm not going to read what they said this guy was doing. No. But he's like, this is not me. I mean, obviously, this is fake, but they only asked for $1,000.
I'm surprised
you haven't seen this because I've had so many clients email me about this.
I think that I have got my customers now so scared that they just know if there's an email that they don't recognize or is poorly written, You know, because between that and the Office 365, that's what they're getting. They're getting these Office 365 ones.
I'm surprised you haven't got it just because it might have their password in it. I'm surprised you even haven't gotten an email saying, hey, how do they have my password?
They're probably
because even if they know it's fake, if they recognize that as a password that they've used in the past, they get freaked out because, hey, this is my password.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I'll get five tomorrow. I'll email you and let you know.
Yeah, I'm surprised. But it just send them that link with the Brian Krebs or the FBI link. I didn't know the FBI had it on their site.
Yeah, it's not as nice as the Krebs one, but I'll put them both on there. Well, it's got a video, though. I mean, the video is entitled, What is Sextortion? So,
just tell your clients to Google Sextortion.
Ooh, here they go. Online perpetrators might gain your trust by pretending to be someone they are not. They lurk in chat rooms and record young people who post or live stream sexually explicit images and videos of themselves. Or they may hack into your electronic devices using malware to gain access to your files and control your webcam and microphone without you knowing it. Well, this is good. They give tips on how to avoid becoming a victim. First one, never send compromising images of yourself. Do not open attachments from people you do not know. Turn off your electric...
They shouldn't say that. They should not say that.
Turn off your electronic devices.
Because a lot of times, the attachment is from somebody they know.
Correct. You're right. If you are receiving sextortion threats, you are not alone. Is there going to be a support group soon? I mean,
yeah, I've told my clients it most likely will be from somebody, you know, because they're infected.
Right.
And they send you an email through their email. I said, unless you're expecting an attachment, don't open it. Do they normally send you Word documents that say, here's your attached invoice? No. Then why would they be sending you an invoice now?
Well, that's the thing. It's common sense. Does it look like something you are actually expecting? Especially if you're at work. You should not be receiving sextortion emails at work. But a lot
save
of people
that for at home.
Yeah, save that for. Put, you know, only receive that on your porn notebook. The family computer is not, you know, set up for that. But it is a lot of common sense. And I guess that's what you got to do is just teach people.
But they don't see it. They don't have common sense. They think it's a computer thing and they zone out. It'll be just the right display name will be the right name. And I said, but look at the email address.
Right. Put your mouse over the link. Does it look like a legit link?
And then they don't know what legit means. But I said, look, this is Bob Jones. Is Bob Jones's email 4573@whatever.us. No, of course not. It's not just because it has his name doesn't mean it's from. There's lots of people in the world. I can make my name Bob Jones and send you an email.
With an email at 4321@badonkadonk.com.
But they I try and explain to them like this. I said, look. Let's say I wrote a letter, a physical letter, put it in an envelope. I put your address to mail it to, and I put someone else's email address as a return address. You get it in the mail. You might think it's from this return address, but I wrote whatever I wanted to right there. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's from that person. So the people can do the same thing with email. They can say it's from an address. It doesn't mean it's from that address.
Here's how I've been trying to explain stuff to people. If somebody comes to your door to deliver a package and they say, this is from me, but you look at the return address and it's not their name, not their address, do you believe them? Well, but they're standing there.
If I could grab a present from under the tree and hand it to you and say, this is from me, but it's got, you know, from somebody else, would you believe me?
There you go. That's a very good one.
If so, I have a Christmas present for you. I just need to come to your house to give, you know, and it's under your tree already. I just put it there earlier. They're all from me.
Yeah, they're all from me. But this has grandma's name on it.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
I go by grandma sometimes.
Is grandma here?
Who are you going to believe, me or some mythical grandma?
That's right.
One of my favorite is when the people get an email from UPS.
Oh, yes.
Saying they couldn't find your address. So they're emailing you as whatever. I'm like, okay, if they couldn't find your address, which is available on any map, I say, when you send a package to somebody, do you also include their email address? No. No. So if they can't find the address, how are they going to find an email address for the person that's at that physical address? Does that make sense? Well, no. But I wonder how they got it. I said, they didn't. It's not real. They got your email address and just told you they couldn't find your address. How would that, doesn't that click? They can't find my address with any GPS can find. How would they find your email address?
Right. Yeah, the UPS guy doesn't have a phone on him. You know, and they've got one of the best tracking programs in the world. You know, UPS, the post office, FedEx. I mean, that's what they're geared towards. They have every U.S. address listed.
Right. But you know, they can't find your address, but they can't find your email address.
I've lived in this house for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's funny because then you go, have you received UPS packages before?
Yeah, of course I have.
It's like, well, then why wouldn't they be able to find your house this time?
Maybe it's a new guy.
Yeah.
So the new guy tracked down who lives there and your email address to email you that he couldn't find you. Come on. Come on. I said, look, if they can't find your address, it goes back to the sender. So they're not going to email you. They're not that much of a go-getter.
Not UPS drivers.
Most of them don't even get out of the car. They just throw the package near the mailbox.
Yeah. Oops. If you're wondering what happened there, you were not mistaken. Basically, we have a hard out at that spot because Matt and I talked for almost 3 hours, and there was no way I was going to let that just roll into one continuous podcast. So that is going to be the end of Sextortion Part 1. There will be a part 2, but it won't be called Sextortion. So if you're looking for more of that discussion, that won't be happening. So just wanted to break up the show a little bit, try to keep the shows at about an hour, even though Matt and I talk freaking all night long. So that's where we're going to end off the show tonight. I do want to go back and do a little bit of acknowledgement. Last show, I was on with Jeff and we talked about the dark web. And I do want to acknowledge a couple of people. First of all, I need to acknowledge Sean, the person who actually sent me the first email. And then, of course, was the first person to actually respond back to me with the actual wording where he said, dude, you didn't even mention. And of course, he listed a couple of services out there, ID Agent, SpyCloud. Yes, there are a ton of dark web scanning services out there. No, we did not address them all. And as we get in more email and stuff, Jeff and I will probably revisit that, come back and acknowledge all of these services. And if I remember correctly, I think we're going to have a dark web scanning expert coming to the ITO Compass in Chicago later in the month of August. So I will stand corrected on a lot of things. I also have a couple of people that did respond on the Facebook. Although I just went back to go look at some of the comments and I think one of my posts got deleted. So I don't know if I was Facebook hacked or a victim of censorship or something, but there's a post of mine missing on the Facebook. So if any of you know how to help me find a missing post, let me know, because it's gone and somebody had a nice response that I wanted to get back to. And I missed it. But that can happen, I guess. Just to let you know, so there will be a part two coming out with this. I probably will go ahead and release that within this week so that it'll be close together. I've got a bunch of great shows coming up. I've actually got a few of them already recorded. The show that I've been teasing you that has been held up in the legal department, I think is all coming up to the last hurdle where we have a tentative release pending the final review. I really don't know what that means. And all I can say is I apologize ahead of time because I know by the time this show comes out, it is going to be so dated, but I've already recorded it. I've already said it was coming out, so it's coming out. I will also have a show that includes a security expert from Fortalice Solutions. And if you haven't heard of that name, Fortalice Solutions is a cybersecurity firm that was started by the former White House CIO and star of the CBS show Hunted, Teresa Payton. And for those of you that were part of the ASCII World Tour this past year, you saw her there, and there was supposed to be a whole section on tips and things for small to medium-sized businesses. Well, she never got to that because so many people had questions just about her time at the White House and stories, and she spent so much time on that she never actually got around to talking about the state of ransomware and the tips that us as IT professionals could utilize with our clients. So I'm going to have somebody from her staff go over those with us and basically review the handouts that she brought to the show but never got to. Let's see, we've got more stuff coming from App River. I'm actually going to have my rep, Sunshine and Giggles, I will be interviewing here coming up soon. We're going to have somebody talk about their web protection. And folks, if you haven't yet tried App River, do so. You can do that free for 30 days for any of the services that they have over there. Just go to appriver.com/podnutspro. Try their stuff. Great company, great product. And I'll have a couple more shows with App River coming up. And then far down the road, well, not far, but at least a month or so, we're going to have Calyptic Securities back. You guys have responded well to Calyptics when I've had them on the show. So they've reached out and we're going to put together another show. And I think, don't hold me to this, but I think we're going to have a nice little starter package for those of you that have not used Calyptics firewalls before and you want to get started. We're working on it. Haven't got the final details, but I think we're going to have a nice little package for you. So that's it, folks. I'm going to go ahead and end off here. Again, we'll have part two of the show with Matt Rainey coming up very, very soon. Please head over to podnuts.com and support all of the great podcasts that are over there. And come back and visit us later here at Podnuts Pro. So until then, good night and holla.